Good morning. It's glad to be with you again. My name is Jaime Jimenez. I know many of you know me. I know many of you as well. I serve part-time as pastor of missional discipleship in the Woodlands at Grace Presbyterian Church. But I also lead a ministry initiative called Covocacional, which is Spanish for co-vocational. Co-vocational are people who have two jobs, but who use both of their jobs or see both of their jobs as part of their calling and their service and their mission to the Lord. And one of their two jobs is being a church planter. So what I do is I help to raise that next generation of co-vocational church planters in Latin America. Help to inspire the churches for God's mission, and then develop integral church planting training that will be accessible for people who have a full-time job but also want to plant a church, and then reimagine what church planting will look like. So I do some work in Cuba. I do some work in Argentina. I'm actually leading to going to Buenos Aires this coming Tuesday, so please pray for me. Now, today is the first Sunday of Advent, and Advent is a time of anticipation. We look with expectation to the second coming of Jesus. That's why many of the songs that we sing are in the future, right? Like, come, expected Jesus, right? Advent is about longing for him. But what we have to do in Advent, and it's really an exercise that should set our minds and our hearts through the whole year, is look back and look forward. We have to look back to his first coming as we celebrate Christmas, but then we also look forward to his return and the renewal of all things with his coming back. Now, today I want us to look at Psalm 23, which is a psalm of King David. Psalm 23, I know, is one of the most well-known passages of the Bible. Douglas Webster, in his commentary on the Psalms, affirms that because people are so familiar with it, it has become a cultural artifact, a piece of Americana, a reflection of popular spirituality. And I think he's right. You probably have seen this, the first verse at least, on many, many wall decorations and calendars. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But by calling the Lord his shepherd, David is actually using a metaphor that he is familiar with. As you probably know, David was a shepherd before becoming Israel's king. So he knows what sheep are like and what shepherds are supposed to do. Now, on Psalm 23, David is actually doing this exercise of looking back and looking forward. The same exercise that we are to do during the Advent season especially. Because this psalm echoes stories of Israel wanderings in the desert after the Lord delivered them from Egypt. And as you can imagine, the desert was an inhospitable place. And nevertheless, the Lord guided, protected, rescued, and provided for them as their shepherd. And because that's what God has done in the past for his people, David can have confidence in what he will do in the future, because he can trust God's character. So David knows what to expect, not about his circumstances, but about God's character. And as we read this psalm, you know, we're reading it many, many years later, this psalm invites us to do this similar exercise of looking back and looking forward, but with a deeper perspective than those who originally heard it. Because we look back to the first coming of the one who said, I am the good shepherd, and we look forward to his return. So let me invite you to please stand for the reading of God's word. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Father, as we meditate in your word, we pray that your spirit might give us eyes to see. Give us receptive hearts to your word and draw us closer to your son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. In the Bible, God is described using different metaphors. He is a shield, he's a rock, he's a consuming fire. And every metaphor is incomplete in itself. It is meant to reveal and highlight something about God's character. And in this psalm, we learn about God as a shepherd, which is a very common metaphor both in the Old and the New Testament. And the whole psalm hangs on the first statement. The Lord, or Yahweh, is my shepherd. In other words, everything that is affirmed after that, everything that David is sure about, every certainty that he has about the future is because he could first say, Yahweh is my shepherd. As I mentioned before, David had been a shepherd. But in this psalm, he's not a shepherd. The Lord is. And by implication, David sees himself as the Lord's sheep. If he is my shepherd, then I am his sheep. Now, this first phrase has three pieces of knowledge that will guide our study of this psalm. First, I want us to ask what the psalm tells us about ourselves. Because to properly understand our relationship with the shepherd, we must better understand ourselves as sheep. What is the Bible telling us by calling us his sheep? Second, what do we learn about the Lord, of course? What does it mean that he is the shepherd of his people? What do we learn about his character and his care? And finally, we will pay attention to the word my, which David uses when he describes his relationship to the shepherd. He makes it personal. Yahweh is not just a shepherd or the shepherd, but my shepherd. So what do we learn about the relationship between the shepherd and his sheep? But let's begin with the sheep. What does the psalm tell us about ourselves? Now, when we hear the Bible calls us sheep, especially around Christmas, we think of it as a cute, charming description of ourselves, as fluffy little lambs. That's the kind of adorable sheep portrayed on Christmas decoration, or sometimes on the Psalm 23 decorations with the inscription, "The Lord is my shepherd." However, as Pastor Tim Keller once said, calling us sheep is actually a spiritual insult. We need to understand how the Bible is using the metaphor regarding us, because we are not called sheep because sheep are cute, but because they are helpless animals that need to be thoroughly rescued. Philip Keller, not Tim Keller, this is a different Keller. He was a sheep owner and a sheep rancher before becoming a pastor. And he wrote a book about Psalm 23, explaining how it is no accident that God chose to call us sheep, because the behavior of sheep and human beings is similar in many ways. He says this: our mass mind or mob instincts, our fears and timidity, our stubbornness and stupidity, our perverse habits are all parallels between humans and sheep of profound importance. So, to understand the parallels better, we must first ask, what are sheep like? And let me just share a few things. First, sheep can be cast. If you have some time this afternoon, search on YouTube what to do if you see a sheep stuck on its back. Okay? Search on YouTube that. And you will get a visual description of what I'm about to explain. A cast sheep, it's a bit funny at first, but in the end, it actually becomes a pitiful picture. Let me explain. If a sheep accidentally ends up on its back because it miscalculated, it lost its balance, or it miscalculated a ditch on the ground, or for any other reason, the sheep won't be able to roll over because their back is quite flat. The sheep lies there, and that's it, bleeding. Bleh. It becomes permanently stuck in that position. I've never seen a Psalm 23:1 wall art with a picture of a cast sheep, but that would be more accurate. Now, if nobody comes to his rescue to pull it from the legs and help it flee, the sheep will eventually die. They become vulnerable to predators, or they begin to accumulate gas. The circulation is cut off from the legs, and they might get a heart attack. And depending on the weather, it might last a few hours or days. But according to what I read, cast down sheep die 100% of the time unless they are rescued. That's how helpless they are. Therefore, shepherds need to be counting. It makes sense. The shepherd needs to be counting the sheep all the time to see if one is missing, because it might be cast somewhere. Now, sheep are also not very good contributors to their rescue. Douglas MacMillan, he was another pastor who also had experience as a shepherd before becoming a pastor. He wrote the following about sheep. A sheep is a stupid animal. It loses its direction continually in a way that a cat or a dog never does. Even when you find a lost sheep, it rushes to and fro and will not follow you home. When you find it, you must seize it, throw it in the ground, tie its forelegs and hind legs together, throw it over your shoulders, and carry it home. And the point is that sheep have to be thoroughly rescued. Instead of collaborating with the shepherd in their rescue, like a lost dog will happily run to its owner when he finds it, the sheep make it more complicated. And because sheep can continually lose their direction, they can get easily into serious trouble. One way that happens is when they try to swim across fast currents. They are not great swimmers, although they can swim if they need to. But once their wool gets wet, they become so heavy and the sheep drown. And another way they get into deadly situations is by following the grass. Wherever they see grass, they just keep going for it, and they end up in steep mountain sets where they can't come back. You know, they might think of themselves as mountain goats, but they are not. They are either rescued from their situation, which is extremely hard. If you can imagine, you know, a sheep on one of these steep mountain sides, or they fall off the cliff to the dead. They're eating grass and they suddenly, they disappear. You can also search that on Google, but it's a horrible sight. Now, if you like sports, you can think of, soccer or football teams called Bears, Tigers, Panthers, Sharks, you know, but nobody picks sheep, not even mighty sheep. But that's how Psalm 23 describes us, not only because we are fearful, timid, stubborn, vulnerable, and have a herd mentality to do what everyone else is doing. Above all, I think it is because we are helpless creatures that need to be thoroughly rescued. Now, the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, explains why we need to be rescued or how we got lost. The prophet writes, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So Isaiah explains that we turn our backs on the Lord. We all share the same condition. We are rebels. That's why we sin. Everyone has turned to his own way, away from the shepherd. Now you might be thinking, well, some people are probably like that, but not me. I'm smarter. I have made better decisions in my life. You know, I try to be good. I try not to harm anybody. I follow the rules when possible. But here's a diagnostic test. The opening line of Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." Now, is that the kind of contentment and satisfaction that our lives always, always reflect? And the answer is no. We all want. We set our eyes on goals, on green pastures, and then we go after them because we want, even if what we want will lead us to our death. Deep down in our hearts, we believe that that's exactly what our hearts need to find rest and satisfaction. If only, then I will find rest. It could be a good thing. Sometimes it could be a sports dream for our kids. If only they make it to the next category. Sometimes it could be a material goal. If only I can buy that car. If only I can reach that tipping point number, then I'll be okay. It could be your friends or your relationships. If only they will accept me and think that I'm cool, that I'm respectable. If only that person will love me, then I will find rest. Then I will be happy. Then I will be satisfied. It could be your job. If only I get my dream job. Or if only I get to the next level, then I shall not want. Or it could be something obviously harmful, you know, one more bed, one more drink, one more experience, you know. But the point is that we follow these things as if they could be our rescuers, our shepherds. We think that they will give us ultimate satisfaction and safety. We believe they will save us, but they can't. And we build our lives on them, and they become deadly traps, and they destroy us, they disappoint us, they betray us, they leave us hopeless and helpless. But that happens because first we have turned our back on the shepherd and follow our own way. Only the Lord can be your shepherd. So now let's look at what the psalm teaches us about him. I will only highlight a few things, four things quickly from the psalm. First, Yahweh is the shepherd that provides. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. I shall not want, or I shall lack nothing, as other Bibles have it. Both are possible translations. I think both communicate the same idea. It means that in the Lord and in his provision, you have everything that you need. Now, in a sense, this encapsulates the whole psalm, you know, because he's the shepherd that provides guidance. He's the shepherd that provides restoration, provides safety. He provides. It doesn't mean that you will have everything that you want, but that in him, you have everything that you need. And if you truly believe it, then you can live without fear and live without anxiety. You can live with contentment. Contentment is the capacity to rest and have joy and peace in the Lord, regardless of whether you have plenty or little. Contentment is not found in the circumstances, but in the Lord. But it is so countercultural. Because according to David, the Lord is the one who makes me lie down in green pastures and leads him beside still or quiet waters. We live in a culture where contentment is not a good thing. You're conforming yourself. You're not being aggressive enough. But it's in the Lord that we can find contentment and that we can lie down in green pastures and we can find rest. D.A. Carson, a New Testament scholar, observed that sheep stand up when they need to drink. They stand up when they need to eat. They stand up when there is danger. So a sheep lying down, as the psalm describes it, is a sheep that is well provided for in all directions. He's not fearful, it's not hungry, it's not thirsty. So Yahweh is the shepherd that provides. Secondly, Yahweh is the shepherd that can restore your soul and your life. Verse 3, he restores my soul, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now think on the image of the cast sheep that I explained a moment ago. Just as a shepherd will save a sheep's life by looking for it, finding it when it is cast, and then turn it back on its legs, the Lord finds us where we are and turns us back, turns our lives around. He restores our souls. Now, David had been a cast sheep many times. Before becoming a king, he had to be on the run while King Saul was trying to kill him. Psalm 57 is a psalm that David wrote when he was on the run. And there you can see how vulnerable David was, like a cast sheep. He wrote on Psalm 57, "My soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down amid fairy beasts, the children of men, whose teeth and spears are arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords." Wow, he's super vulnerable. But he didn't remain cast. The Lord turned him around. He restored his soul, as you can tell from the following words, also in the same psalm. Look how different they are. "I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your steadfast love is greater to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds." The Lord's love was greater than the threats around him. Now, David had also had to flee from his own son Absalom when Absalom wanted to dethrone David and become king. It's a horrible story. He wrote about it in Psalm 3. He says the following, "O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me." But then again, in the same psalm, David changes his tone from anxiety to confidence. "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head." Again, the Lord found David and restored his soul. But there was another time when David experienced the Lord's restoration, and that's depicted on Psalm 51. And David wrote it after he committed adultery and murder. And he wrote the following, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions." Now you can hear the weight of sin over his life. But again, later in the psalm, you can see how the Lord restored him. David asked for forgiveness and then testified that God does not despise a broken and contrite heart. He is the God who forgives and cleanses us from our sins. Now, this is a restoration that we all need, because we all have turned our backs on the shepherd, and because we all have messed our lives so much and offended the Lord so much and hurt others, even the ones we love, so much. And the only one that can restore our lives and turn us around is the shepherd we turn away from. Now, third, Yahweh is the shepherd that provides. He is the shepherd that restores. He is the shepherd that protects and saves. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." You know, in ancient times, when you had to cross a dark valley, it could be a frightening experience, particularly if you have to do it alone and unarmed. You didn't know what was ahead. There could be animals, there could be robbers, or another type of danger. Now, sometimes, perhaps, a friend will be willing to walk with you. And if your friend was armed, well, that's even better. But you were still vulnerable, you know. But here David says that it is the Lord his shepherd, why he didn't have to fear. "For you are with me." The good shepherd has his rod to defend him and his staff used to round up the flock to protect him. Nowadays, we don't get to cross valleys like that very often. But we cross other types of valleys. We walk through the dark valleys of depression, loss, divorce, conflict, sickness, cancer, joblessness, affliction. Now, it is great to have the support of friends that can walk with you, but the best thing they can do is not to promise you that they will be there for you always, but to point us to the one that will never fail you. It has to be the Lord on whom we rely, particularly when the dark valley is death itself. Only the Lord can walk with us. About this part of the psalm, D.A. Carson once said the following. He said, all the friendships, all the honors, all the glories, all the praise, all the social structures, all the things that have entertained you and amused you and grabbed your fancy and tickled your interest for 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, 60 years, 80 years, they can't go with you then. There is only one shepherd who can go with you through the valley of the shadow of death. And if you don't know him by then you go through the valley alone. The Lord provides, the Lord restores, the Lord protects and saves. And fourth, the Lord is the shepherd that pursues you. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, the word translated here as mercy or loving kindness in some Bibles is the word hesed, or God's steadfast, faithful, covenantal love. And the word translated as follow, mercy shall follow me, the word translated as follow is the same word that David used to speak of King Saul or his son Absalom when they were chasing him and they were trying to kill him. And he had to run away and hide in caves. But here David is not speaking of his enemies chasing him, but of God's faithful love chasing him. And that's how the Lord pursues his sheep. Even when we try to run away, and we will never be able to outrun him. Now we could spend much more time on this, but let me finish by calling our attention to the word my. The Lord is my shepherd. How can we know if we have this relationship with the Lord? As I mentioned, an author argues that Psalm 23 has become a cultural artifact, a piece of Americana. And many people like to quote the first few words because our hearts long to be safe. Our hearts long to be restored, to not be fearful, to not be anxious, to not want. In the same way, people like to speak about Christmas as a season of peace, a season of joy, a hope for a better future. But not everybody can truly say, the Lord is my shepherd. So how can we know? How can we enter, perhaps, into that kind of relationship? What does it mean? Well, many years after David, the Good Shepherd came to earth. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then in John chapter 10, we read that Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He is the Good Shepherd that David spoke about. Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now that's the message of Christmas, that Jesus came to lay down his life for his sheep because we have turned everyone to our own way. And to rescue us, he had to carry our iniquity. And on that cross, he had to go through the valley of the shadow of death alone, so that we will not. Only the true shepherd gave his life to save your life. And if you know that, you can live in this world with hope because you know what's coming. He's coming. He is a happy ending. And that's what Advent is about. I once heard a story about Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse. He was a pastor at Temperance Veterinarian in Philadelphia. And he shared that after the death of his first wife, he and his children were driving home after the funeral. And he was trying to think about what he could possibly say to his children to comfort them. And as they were driving, a huge moving van passed them, and its shadow covered their car momentarily. So he asked his children, would you rather be run over by a truck or by a shadow? You know, the children said, Dad, we much better rather be run over by a shadow. That can't hurt us at all. So Dr. Barnhouse said, did you know that 2,000 years ago, the truck of death ran over the Lord Jesus so that only his shadow might run over us. Now the question for us in this special season of the year is, do you know that? Is the Lord Jesus your shepherd? Is he the one in whom you're resting? Are you his sheep? And if so, then we must rest. We can be as anxious as the world. We can learn to be content with what we have. And we get to live in light of his return. Wherever he leads us, we can follow him, and we must follow him, because in him we lack nothing. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that Jesus, the good shepherd, laid down his life for us to bring us peace with you. Lord, I pray that in this season that you will open our eyes, that we will believe in him and learn to rest in him and follow him. Follow him on mission every day of our lives. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.